sure would like for you to use this card today and put your prayer request on it. We have not because we ask not. Ask of the Lord and see what He might do in your behalf. And speaking of that, I'm glad to have Miss Audrey here today. She hates being the center of attention. We make a perfect pair. The gift that brings the greatest gratitude. If today in presentation of this message, I seem a little bit bound to my notes, well, I am. I want to make sure that I say to you exactly what I believe God's put on my heart for today. Thanksgiving is upon us again. The annual American cultural celebration of what many people call Turkey Day. But will it be a time of true gratitude? Can we pause long enough from the eating and the ball games and the relaxation to truly give thanks? But in the middle of that, it begs another question. To what or to whom shall we give this thanks that we're so intent on giving? Maybe that gets to the root of the quagmire in truer fashion. Maybe if we just had a little better grip on the identity of the object of our gratitude, then we could give thanks and truly mean it. What is your Thanksgiving quotient of your life? Your TQ, if you will. How thankful are you? Well, most people never return to say thanks. Do you? How many times have you uttered those words, thank you, this week? No, we're not talking about the mandatory thank you when the tape is rolling. We're speaking of the off-camera events, those that happen when no one else is looking. Luke tells a story in Luke 17 of a person who broke stride with a crowd to return and give thanks. It turns out that this person is the most unlikely person to give thanks. Hear the story from Luke 17. As he entered a village there between Galilee and Judah, 10 lepers stood at a distance. They were crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy, have mercy on us." He looked at them. Now, let me pause here just a moment and say to you, they had to be at least 100 paces away, and they had to constantly shout out, "Unclean, unclean," as they walk near people. Do you think they may have had a stigma in their lives? Jesus looks at the lepers, the scripture says, and says these words, "Go show yourselves to the priest." The 10 lepers turned around, and as they went, as they were going, the scripture says, the leprosy disappeared. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting out, "Praise God, I'm healed." He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 lepers? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner, the Samaritan, return to give glory to God? Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." It's interesting the last phrase, because Jesus was saying more than "your faith has made you well," because the verb he uses there is the verb sozo, from which we get our word salvation. Your faith has saved you. So not only was that leper, the 9, they got a physical cleansing. But the 10th one, the Samaritan, was cleansed on the outside and on the inside. That's God's economy. Are you the 9 or the 1? Secondly, ingratitude is an attitude, not an event. It's a state of mind. I guess we could adopt an anecdotal approach to gratitude. Maybe you can muster up enough high-profile thank yous to shield yourself from the burning conviction that you may be ungrateful. But that would allow gratitude to become separated from your heart. We can't let that happen. We're not talking about an event, but rather an attitude of gratitude that comes from the heart. I guess you might say that ingratitude takes your Thanksgiving quotient down a few notches. You may have a heart problem when it comes to being thankful. Number 3, ingratitude is growing. We wish this were not so in our culture. The fickle nature of our culture almost predicts growth in the ingratitude sector. We're a nation of consumers. With a consumer mindset, it's hard to think of the world and think at the same time that it does not revolve around you. All the advertising zeroes in on this concept. It's about you. Is ingratitude growing in you, or is it shrinking? Well, enough of all that. Let me say to you in a quote, the New Testament, there is a more excellent way. Let's turn our attention to someone else today by posing this question: who gave the greatest gift of all? All we have is a gift from God. All. Everything. Everything in our hands. Everything around us. Our lives, our health, it's a gift from God. Genesis 1:28 says, "But God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth, subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and all the animals." There's not one single blessing that you possess that's not a blessing from God. That's right. We might call this the Creator's prerogative. He made it all. He is the source. He's letting us use what He gave us. If you want to just hang on to what is yours, then stop breathing right now, because the air doesn't belong to you. It's a gift. You did not pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's an impossibility. Physically, the laws of physics will not allow that. And by the way, who created those pesky laws of physics? Gravity. the only thing that keeps me from flying off the planet right now. Think about it. All of creation was not large enough, was not a large enough gift either. Psalm 8 says this, that great psalm, "For you made us a little lower than God." Some translations say the angels. "And you crowned us with glory and honor. You put us in charge of everything you made, giving us authority over all things." Just a little lower? How about that? Next time that you get away from the city lights, how about glancing up into the nighttime sky, especially on one of those rare, low humidity nights in South Georgia? The expanse of the universe, who is it made for? You. Every plant, every animal on this earth was put here just for you. Here's the kicker. Even the whole creation was not a large enough gift for us. It came from our Heavenly Father. What else did He give? God gave us special people too. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "Long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets." How about that? He didn't hold back. Look at all the precious people He has given to us. Each person is a gift from God. Each person is a message from God, a message of His never-ending love and care for each one of us. Each person is a prophetic word from the Lord. When He says, when the Scripture says God is love, He means that. I can hear my grandmother, she and my aunt, the only people in the world, call me Michael, besides the IRS. I can hear her and I can see her face, that warm glow of her smile, her looking at me and telling me how much she loved me. Whew, man. What I'd give to hear that one more time and see that. Hebrews 1:1 speaks of how God never stopped speaking to man. From the fall in the garden, He began to speak His prophetic words to us. He's been sending people forth with His message to us. This is a record of who God is. He is a God who speaks to us. One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But hold the bus. He didn't stop here. Number four, He gave us His greatest gift. He gave us His unique one and only Son, Jesus. Hebrews 1:2 says, "But now, in these final days, He has spoken unto us through His Son." He sent His only begotten Son. He didn't hold back anything. I can't imagine sacrificing one of my children for people who dwell in ingratitude. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We needed this gift desperately. You see, all the other gifts were great. We could live with those gifts, but we couldn't die with them. With Jesus came a gift that we could die with. Therein lies the bottom line. God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. I hope you've seen that in the last weeks, and we've been in the series looking at waking the dead for about 2 months. I hope you've seen that plan unfolding and how His plan is a wonderful plan for your life. Without Jesus, we're separated from God, from heaven, and from each other forever. But Jesus entered in. He came on that great rescue mission. He entered into the earth and He died on a cross alone, even having the Father turn His back on Him. He was buried, and on the third day He arose again. This is God's greatest gift to us, the resurrected Son of God, who desires to come into our lives and change us and make us new people. He radically does that. He changes our lives. You must receive this gift. You must receive this gift personally. Because you see, a gift is something you must accept or reject. He will come to live in you right now, and you can live with Him forever. That's the message of the gospel. And this gospel message, this gift of His Son at last, as the writer of the Hebrews says, in these last days He's spoken unto us by His Son. That's worthy of our gratitude. So how can we show to Him that we are grateful? Number one, we can acknowledge the gift. Accept the fact of what God has done for you through His Son Jesus. Number two, we can accept the gift. As I said, with a gift you have the possibility of two things: accept or reject. What will it be for you? And number three, we can have a change in our lives. You see, when we accept this gift of Jesus in our lives, He comes in and He radically changes us. We can no longer be the same people. After you've received this greatest gift, you can live a life that shows to whom you belong and from whom you have received this gift. He even gives you the power to live like it. When He gives to us His Holy Spirit, who comes to take up residence in us. A lot of us say we have the gift. We've received Jesus. But our lives show another story. Finally, number four, we can give the gift to someone else. How shall they hear unless you tell them? It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. So what's your conclusion? We cannot thank Him enough. But let's try. I'm going to invite you to two tables today. Said we were going to have our Thanksgiving communion today, and we are. But I've added a second table today. A table of Thanksgiving that I'm going to invite you to. Before we come to this table, the communion table, this is a table of Thanksgiving. There's some sticky notes, some pens here, and there's a cross. I'm going to invite you to come to this table, write your Thanksgiving, and put it on the cross. The cross where Jesus died, the symbol of our salvation, symbol of all that He has done. And then you can come to the table and take your time with this. And you may want to sit in your seat for a little while and ponder this before you do this. Then you can come to the table and receive his communion. Because on the night in which he was betrayed, he was there at that Seder service that they had done for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he was acting out the fulfillment of it. And they finally knew what the unleavened bread was about. The big reason. He broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And he took the cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption. The fourth cup won't be until the millennial kingdom. Can't wait. But we're remembering the third cup. The cup of our salvation, the cup of redemption. And he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, for the remission of your sins." Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your presence here right now. Gentlemen, if you'll come and join me, those that are going to assist with communion. Love these guys. Bobby, this is the body of Jesus broken for you. Donnie, body of Jesus broken for you. Ricky, body of Jesus broken for you. Blood of the new covenant poured out for you, Bob. Blood of the new covenant poured out for you, Donnie. Blood of the new covenant poured out for you, Ricky.
It's the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We'll be over here. You can come to either of the stations, but we encourage you to go to that table first for your thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body and your poured out blood in Jesus' name. You know, this may be our last Thanksgiving service in this building. And as we thank the Lord for all the things that he has given, I thank the Lord for the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And what a blessing. Brother Bob's in glory today, but the investment lives on. What God has done. We're going to pause and before I send you out, maybe you've not had a chance to put your prayer request, your offering in the baskets. It's a basket in the back and a basket here. We invite you to bring those cards and those envelopes at this time if you have not done so far. I want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving this week, and I pray that today this exercise, as we look to the cross and we see now the wood of that cross is covered with our thanksgiving. We thank God for his gracious gift of his unique one and only Son, that we could be with him forever. We'll spend forever trying to thank him. So now, let me send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Lord Jesus, and under the authority of Yahweh, our Father, the one and only in the earth. God bless you and happy Thanksgiving.